Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text we consider today is Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, where he writes, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit, who is living in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, then you will have to die. If, however, through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." In the same way that our Lord makes a distinction between good trees and bad trees in the gospel today, the Apostle Paul here distinguishes between those who are Christians and holy and others who are without faith and without the Holy Spirit, or who abandon and lose the Holy Spirit. Either one lives with and in the Holy Spirit or lives according to one's flesh. Rotten trees are enslaved to sin and the sinful flesh, which is a fatal thing. The heavenly axe, Jesus says, is laid at the root of such trees, that eternal fire is ready for those. All the temptations and desires against all God's commandments active in you and in your nature that incite you to sin, these are the works of the flesh. They must die. The Holy Spirit is given to you for that purpose, that now you should and can kill off these sinful desires with his help. This takes place by daily spiritual warfare, putting on the full armor of God, Paul will say in the letter to the Ephesians, regularly, constantly listening to and taking to heart God's word, learning to confess your sins, receive absolution, especially when the conscience is stung by your sins, and by receiving the sacrament of the altar regularly. All this is to daily remember your baptism into Christ and to live lives according to God's holy word. The word of God and the Spirit help you to recognize your sin, to remember what God has said about sin when you feel the attack of the flesh and the devil, and to remember what God says of you as his baptized child. You have his name, his adoption, his heritage and inheritance. You belong to him. And in Jesus, you no longer need the flesh and its evil desires. You no longer need the lusting, the coveting, the anger towards others, the hatred and jealousy and gossip towards others. In Christ, one with him in his body, you do not truly need the evil deeds and the perceived needs of your flesh, but you really do have all things you truly need from God's gracious hand. And you need to learn to recognize that each and every day, to humbly give God thanks and praise, and humbly ask for more from God's hand. Faith in the forgiveness of sins given in Jesus Christ is life in the Holy Spirit and killing off the deeds of the body. Through such faith, one grows stronger and resists sin and does not consent to it, nor let it come into effect. Resistance of sin, fighting against sin in weakness, is not fatal, not damnable, but it is the continual fleeing back in faith to the strength found that is in the good tree, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, this tree of life with every good, from whose riven side flow the water and the blood that gives genuine, real life in the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life to come. The apostle continues, Romans chapter 8, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Luther said in his sermon about this epistle that these words are so excellent and so comforting that they should be written with golden letters. To be able to cry out to God, Abba, Father, my dearest Father. Simple, childlike words to God through the Holy Spirit, like those inexpressible sighings and groans too deep for words that also come to mind, which Paul will later speak of in Romans chapter 8. There is a magnificent consolation in these simple words. You are God's child, an heir with Christ, who is your dearest brother. And this Christ is not just a spiritual brother either, but he shares your flesh and blood even now. You are not alone. You are not without help. You pray with your dear brother all the time, as he taught you, our Father, who art in heaven. These words mean that you have the right and the privilege to implore God directly as your Father for every need, to approach the throne of grace with your brother standing next to you, covering for you, and assured by the Holy Spirit that you are God's dearest child. Your heart is able to cry out to him with a wholehearted appeal, and especially this is for when you are in trouble, when the world turns against you, when trials weigh you down, when you are beset by temptation and your conscience is burdened, when unrelenting grief and pain do their worst, and there hardly seems a day, I know, when it is possible not to be confronted by such troubles and trials. It is especially in conflict and danger from the doubting of the flesh and the devil's fright and affliction. These are the false preachers, the false prophets that Jesus warns us of. It is precisely when they preach at us where we can, by the Spirit's consolation and assurance, answer them and their challenges to you. As a son of God and a co-heir with Christ, you could pray like this, Dear Father, you are certainly my dear Father, for you have given your dear and only Son for me. Therefore, I know you will not be angry with me or disown me. Lord, you see my weakness and distress, because of which you want to help and save me. For you have given your dearest treasure, to adopt me as your child, the true prophet, the good and holy tree, who has borne the fruit of my salvation and the salvation of the world, even my dear Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered all things for my sake and for all men, that through my sufferings in this life, I also may be glorified with him. So I encourage you to remember these words of the Apostle Paul, and to remember the words which immediately follow our epistle text for today, Romans 8:18. Memorize these words, put them in your heart. I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory which is to be revealed in us. With that promise, you, friends, can face your dying and your rising from this life to the next with confidence and joy and hope an expectation, for you will be glorified with the living Christ. Friends, you have a gift that so many today who have no faith in Christ so dearly miss out on in these dark and latter days. You can look forward to the day of your death, to this life. And you can grieve for those who go on to heaven ahead of you with a constant and confident and a cheerful hope. For God's children who have suffered with Christ in this life are now glorified with him in the perfect and new world to come. And that's where we're headed. God grant us all to know the dawn of that new and great eternal day, and to know it's coming very soon. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.